Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. We've been doing these for two and a half years, and I'm thrilled to have a guest on our show today that I've been trying to get on for a while, and I finally got him. This man is one of the busiest guys I know, Dr. Dennis Perman. Hey, Dennis, good to see you, man.
Thanks, Dr. Ron. I appreciate it. Great to be here.
Coming to us from?
I am actually in Huntington, New York, in my home. You can see I'm in my beautiful den downstairs.
I love it.
But I do travel all over the world to tell people about the magic of chiropractic. And it's my pleasure to be here with you today.
Yeah, and our pleasure to have you. I'll give you a little bit of history about Dr. Dennis. He graduated from NYCC, New York Chiropractic College, well, I believe they were still on Long Island, in 1977, makes him 45 years in our phenomenal profession. He started a practice in Jamaica, not Jamaica, the island or the country, but Jamaica, Queens, New York City. They moved over to New Hyde Park. And from practice, he went one of the early transitions, went into coaching doctors and spending time with them. He just, when you hear this man, you'll know why, because he's written 7 books, thousands of articles. Just found out recently he had a weekly publication that went out for 24 years. And it just ended just recently, but 24 years is a testament to what he's doing. He has spread his time, his talents, and his treasure. You've always supported Life West, which we so appreciate. In fact, I don't know if you sent Danny, your son, but his son, Danny Perman, graduated with my daughter, Morgan, in 2015. And he is a phenomenal chiropractor, brilliant, just a brilliant young man, young doctor. And, you know, your heart and soul and family are in chiropractic, and I'm just thrilled to have you with us today. Really thrilled. So that was a brief introduction. How do you like that?
Well, listen, I was going to say, you know more about me than I know about myself. Maybe I should like to interview yourself about me.
On your obituary, no one knows what you say. At least you can hear what I'm saying, right?
That's right. Well, you know, Dan is a third generation chiropractor. My father was a chiropractor as well. And interestingly, he went to chiropractic college at age 44. He was successful in business, but he wanted to be a doctor and he loved chiropractic. He was a chiropractic patient. So he ended up going to chiropractic college, and shortly thereafter, I went too. In fact, my father, myself, and my brother were all at New York Chiropractic College at the same time.
Wow.
So then Dan followed, you know, at Life West in 2015. But it's I just love this profession with all my heart. And it's my pleasure to be here serving you and serving the profession.
Absolutely. And you know, it's crazy. This is so nuts, man. It's like you are kind of like you know, Jason Deitch, right? And, you know, Jason graduated and then his father and brother came to school after him. Right. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's just so cool. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about a profession. There's no age limit to join. There's no, you know, time that you shouldn't come to chiropractic college. Right. You know, what a wonderful thing. Your father probably loved it as a second or third profession. I'm not sure, but, you know, probably loved it. It's so beautiful. And now the lineage goes down, man. He's a third generation. So I'm hoping we'll have a spot for his son or daughter for a fourth generation.
I look forward to that.
From my lips to God's ears, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, and I hope I live that long. So that'd be
great. Absolutely. You will. You will. And I'm hoping to see it. So, hey, let's jump into it. Listen, you've been, you know, I've had you at the Wave and you've been at the college. And, you know, Dennis, one of the things that I know about you, and I know your heart and I know how passionate you are about chiropractic, but people need to, if they don't know you, the ones that do know what I'm going to say, but the ones who don't, you are a master communicator. And not just a communicator on the outside or showing people how to communicate, but also on the inside, like the self-talk that people have. And, you know, that I see that as one of the greatest things. You know, if I could lay on your couch and and have you sit in the chair next to me and talk about it. That's what, but I, what I want to get into and have our viewers kind of take a hold of, because this is for everybody. I don't care where you are in your life, where you, if you're in school or you've been in practice for 48,000 years, or if, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter, anywhere in between, you know, everybody has subluxations above Atlas. Everybody, right? And it's about how they hold us back, right? Or not just hold us back, maybe hold us back from moving, progressing from nowhere, but also maybe we think we're doing well, but hold us back from really becoming who we are, right? And you know what our potential could be. So let's talk about that, if that sounds like a good thing for you.
Oh, it does indeed. Because you see, we've been trained from the time we were very young, from our parents, from our schools, from the media, from our governments, from our friends. We've been trained not to try too hard to outperform who we really are. The fact of the matter is, everybody has more gears. Everybody has more opportunity to grow, to learn, to do good. But we tend to rise only to a certain level. My work is about helping doctors and anybody who wants to listen to explore exactly what is inside and how can you get the most out of yourself. So when you say subluxations above Atlas, it's quite clear that that metaphor holds. What is a subluxation? What does a subluxation do in the body? It prevents normal expression. Well, what does a subluxation do above Atlas? It prevents normal expression. Mm-hmm. So everybody is more than well equipped to be successful, to be happy, to be fulfilled. But invariably, the assorted interferences that we come up against in our lives prevent us from reaching that potential.
Right. And that's
my work is about exploring that.
Yeah. And that's just like, it's just like, you know, the three T's, right? You know, toxins, traumas, and, you know, it's just like that, right? For the subluxations very below Atlas, you know, obviously there's you know, this programming you talked about, emotional subluxations that happen. So let's dive into that. Like, share, you know, you got somebody who, if I could lay on the couch, I would right now, you know, but share, like, you know, what are some examples that you see?
The key concept in identity is to understand that we have unlimited potential, but we only have a certain amount of it accessible to us. And I call that our capacity. Your capacity is the amount of your potential you currently have access to. So the art and skill of becoming an extraordinary, fully functioning human being, a whole person for that matter, is to figure out where those limitations might be and to build resources to handle them. You see, everybody has unlimited potential, but we only have a certain capacity, that access to that amount of that potential. So my work is about exploring where that capacity needs to be expanded upon. Now, there's two broad categories, and they're simple enough. It's being and doing. You have your capacity by procedure, the stuff that you do, the mechanics and operations of what you accomplish. But then there's also the capacity by concept and vision, which has to do with who you are between the ears and in your heart. This is a key factor in chiropractic because, unfortunately, most people who are in the street don't have a working knowledge of what chiropractic is and does. Mostly, people mistake it for a pain relief methodology, and of course, it does wonderful at that. But the truth is, chiropractic is so much more. Chiropractic is a way for us to discover, as D.D. said, how to connect man the spiritual with man the physical. Please forgive the gender insensitivity of the time, but the idea is we all have more potential that we could be expressing.
Right. So when we talk about the subluxation, we talk, you know, above Atlas, right? And like you talked about, you know, it could be programming. I mean, you know, going back to, like, you know, people hearing money doesn't grow on trees, and you know, you came from the wrong side of the tracks, so to speak. We're not like those people over there. Whatever it is that we picked up with our impressionable minds, you know, back when we were 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, watching our parents struggle, that our parents think that they don't, that, you know, that how do they see that? But we pick all that up. You know, we're just sponges, even though we can't rationalize it, but it goes into our computer. Right. And we know that the brain works in different ways, but we do know that the brain is like it's a closed tape loop. Right. So, you know, whatever you put in, it'll kind of go garbage in, garbage out. It'll run to completion unless it's changed at all. Right. What are some of the common things that you see? Because, you know, it's one thing about reaching potential, but it's another about unlocking that subluxation to allow us to get to that potential, whatever that might be.
No doubt. So the way that I work with that is with a concept known as resource building. You see, your pleasure lives in your strengths. We do the things we like to do. and we get good at them. But growth lives in the weaker areas. So that means that unless you're willing to build resources to handle the weaker areas, then you end up in that closed loop that you just described. You just keep recycling the same talents and abilities. Often that's enough, but it doesn't reach the fullest potential. It doesn't take you to the level that you can be at. So when you learn to build resources, now you have additional tools to use in order to be able to construct your reality. Now, what is resource building? Resource building is a very simple tool. I derived it from some techniques I learned from Anthony Robbins many years ago, where we begin to understand how we create the various traits, attributes, characteristics of our lives. Confidence, motivation, focus, self-esteem. They're made of something. But most people, it's either just luck that they happen to get it, or they find one thing and they get pretty good at it and they're able to manufacture that. But when you get good at resource building, the concept of resource building, now you can build any resources you want.
Yeah.
I am not naturally gifted at time management. And it's awkward because I work on a schedule. I have to be good at time management. I had to learn how to create an internal environment that was consistent with good time management. Yeah. Now I'm always on time. I'm painfully on time. Yeah. And the reason for it is because it was an important value to me. And I use this resource building technology in order to be able to create it for myself.
Right. And I think this, I think that, you know, there's some people who can naturally innately train themselves, or not even innately, educatedly train themselves to become more disciplined or do whatever. But people don't have to walk away from this conversation thinking, well, yeah, but I don't know how to do that. I mean, you could also just have, you know, clocks all around you, or you can also just have hire someone who's going to keep you on track, right? Because there's certain things that, there you go, there's certain things. And I think that people need to understand that the trained resources aren't always up here. They could be like you just held up. They could be anywhere as long as you can identify what the areas are that need to be trained on. Is that correct?
Okay. So that leads us into the simplest exercise for our viewers to participate in, what I call the two questions. The first question is, if there were no rules and I couldn't fail, what would my blank be like? Now, it could be, what would my practice be like? It could be, what would my physical condition be like? What would my relationship be like? What would my life be like? You can fill in the blank with whatever you please. But the no rules orientation is what frees you from the confines that you were describing before, this closed loop where we tend to interpret our reality only based on what we already know. When you say, if there were no rules and I couldn't fail, what would my practice be like? You would create an extraordinary dream, which is not a goal, by the way, it's a dream. And that dream is going to inspire you, it's going to motivate you, it's going to excite you. But you see, the problem is, even when somebody does that, they often don't take the next step. The second question is critically important. Who would I need to be or become to create that dream? See, this is where resource building comes in, because our capacity, whether it's on the B level, concept and vision, or whether it's on the do level in your procedures, the fact is your limitations exist in your capacity. If you learn how to identify where those capacity limitations are, then you can easily build resources to handle them. Yeah. Now, it sounds very esoteric, but it's actually quite simple. It was easy for me to tell I sucked at time management because I was late to everything. It was not a mystery.
Well, part of it is this.
You'd identify that.
Yeah, what I was going to say was that you can identify it by asking people around you. I mean, you know, your best friend, your spouse, your partner in business, whatever. If you just say, what, you know, what traits do you feel I need to work on? But be brutally honest, they will tell you, right? And truthfully, you know what?
Wow.
We don't have to sit there and try to analyze ourselves.
That's dangerous fun, boy. Let me tell you, that is dangerous fun.
But it's true.
My model is really to do it inside. I don't really usually go to other people and say, hey, what do you think I need to improve upon? Because I might get answers. I don't really want those answers necessarily.
But they could be true.
We're goofing around a little bit, but it's true that you can use the external as resources to be able to find out what you need to work on. There's no doubt about it.
And then you take whatever that is, and then you find your resources around that. And you know, it's interesting too, because I know this to be so true for myself, and I'm sure you know you also. When you're stuck in this thing of, man, I just can't be on time. You know, you don't know what to do because we're so in our heads about what's going on. And the minute someone points out to you ways to do it, it's like, oh my, it's like an epiphany, right? Boom. And then it's, and why didn't I think of that? It's so simple. So people have to understand that it's, you know, it's not this complicated path to get through this stuff. Like, you know, there's, life is not meant to be difficult. It's just, it's, but it's meant to that you have to work at it. Right. And the more you work at it, the more you show up, the better, you know, the life is going to be for you.
No doubt about it. You know, things can be very frustrating for people, though, Ron, because we face so many challenges, so many stresses and difficulties, especially these days. It's kind of a rocky time to live and to practice. And for that reason, we have to manifest sufficient personal power, sufficient energy to be able to blast through some of these limitations. Sometimes it's about technique and understanding a tool to be able to use to build the resource. But sometimes it's just brute force. You just have to break through your limitations. And that takes massive passion, massive motivation. It takes a determination, a resiliency, and a pleasant persistence where you just determine that you're going to hold yourself to a high standard. Nothing's going to move you off of it.
Yeah. So let's move in that direction, because, you know, you talked about passion, and you talked about passion, you know, being an immovable force. So how do you talk about that? Elaborate on what you just said with passion.
I will indeed. Most people have all they need to create a successful life. Most people have all they need to create a successful relationship. Most people have all they need to create all the financial resources they need. Then why do so few people do it? Because they lack sufficient drive to be able to break through the limitations that are holding them back. No doubt you've seen, maybe even participated in a demonstration where somebody holds boards and you make a karate strike and you break through the board. It's clear that that's impossible. And yet people do it all the time. I've walked on fire. I've jumped out of airplanes. I've walked in the woods of Maui for hours and hours trying to find my way to a destination. When you hold yourself to a higher standard of engagement and execution, you've got a much better chance of uncovering the prime resources that you have. Everybody has more to work with than they're currently expressing.
Yeah.
But you see, we need a driver. We need a force to be able to blast through. And I find for me that being passionate about what I do is going to provide sufficient energy for me to be able to accomplish literally anything I point myself toward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I believe that there's anchors into that passion, you know, things that we constantly self-talk ourselves, you know, I mean, I was raised with three lines. That was, I can, I will, I must. I can, I will, I must. I used to hear Dr. Sid say that. I would repeat it in my mind over and over. I can, I will, I must. I can, I will, I must. You know, I would go out running, and when I got, I would self-talk. I am a new patient magnet. I am seeing whatever the number, and start reprogramming this. But that also lifted my passion. You know, and people Absolutely. Always say, well, but I'm not a passionate guy. I'm not you, Perman. I'm not you, Oberstein. You know, you guys had big practices and you did all this. Da, da, da. I'm just me. But the truth is, passion doesn't, it's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. So what do you do with someone like that?
When somebody runs that jive on me, then I basically break their pattern. Usually, if they're on the phone, I can't hit them in the head. If they're with me, I hit them in the head. but if they're on Zoom or on the phone, then I ask leverage questions. Tell me, it sounds like you believe that you're not good enough. What is that belief costing you in your life? You've got to move people toward pleasure and away from pain in order for them to experience a sense of motivation. So most people think erroneously that moving away from pain is negative. It's not. It's the most positive thing you can do. You touch a hot stove, take your hand away. That's very positive. Yeah. So the key is to understand the way your system is set up. Some people move more expediently toward pleasure, and they should be using rewards and comfort and fun and happiness to reward themselves as they move forward. Yeah. Some people move more effectively away from pain. And they need to use consequences and challenges in order to be able to move themselves. But it's still either way, and people will be blends of these things. In certain contexts, you move toward, in certain contexts, you move away. Now, Anthony Robbins had a saying much like the one you learned from Sid, but slightly different. He said, if you can't, you must. And if you must, you will. Mm-hmm. See, it's a corollary of what you said, but you see, it taps into the fact that some people are saying, I can't. Well, if you can't, then you must. Because the whole idea of can't-ness is to be able to say, wait a minute, why do I have to buy into that? I must break through this. And if you must break through it, then you will. And these are the elements of generating passion.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, in chiropractic, we say everyone should see a chiropractor. You just don't go to a chiropractor, you know, when you're in pain, right? You go to a chiropractor for the rest of your life to keep your nervous system functioning to the best of its ability so that you can express yourself to your optimal potential. Bottom line, right? You mm-hmm. look at that statement, but how many people, how many chiropractors are taking care of their subluxations above Atlas? You know, and we work with this. You know, one of my good friends, you know, Walter Sanchez in Florida, right? Hialeah, Florida, right? Walter sent me this, this tape of this beautiful guy who just talked about taking care of the mind. It was an ebook. And so I listened to it, right? And it was unbelievable. And the gentleman said that what you feed up here is more important than what you feed in here. The toxicity mm-hmm. you put in here is more detrimental mm-hmm. to the toxicity, but no one takes care of this. Until I'm failing, my marriage failed, my dog ran away with my cat, you know, and whatever it is, until we get into the trauma cycle of pain or whatever it is. Oh, I gotta check into something. That's, you know, listen, the 25 years plus whatever that I was coaching, people would come to me, majority would come to me when things were lousy, right? And start up, unless they saw their friends doing great, said, I want to do that and keep moving. But everyone should be taking care of this. Everybody.
You know,
if we want to deliver ourselves.
It's kind of like a practice. I mean, most of the people that come into a chiropractic practice are in pain. They wait until they've deteriorated to the point that they're symptomatic. But when you do a good job educating your patient, there's a much greater likelihood that that patient is going to bring in relatively well people before they start deteriorating. Well, it's the same thing in training people in success. Most people seek out success, help getting more successful when they're failing. But it's crazy. You want to have support in learning how to be successful from the very beginning of your career.
That's right.
I was very fortunate because I was surrounded with successful people, and I even floundered a little bit in the beginning, but not long, because I recognized that I had what it takes to be able to create a successful practice. Helping people develop the self-esteem that allows them to consider themselves successful in advance, to tell the truth in advance, is a major piece of getting them to that point.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? You look at these athletes, right? I'm just going to use this as an example. You look at these athletes like, you know, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Serena Williams, you look at all these athletes and they all have their teams with them, you know, team Serena, mm-hmm. team, you know, team this, team Kobe, whatever it might be or whoever it was, but they were smart enough to know that they had their own, you know, chiropractor, their own nutritionist, not the team, their own, mm-hmm. they had their own sports psychologist. They had, they all have this, right? And they surround themselves to keep them at the best, not just during the season, all the time. And we as professionals, yeah, I would venture to say that, you know, if LeBron James or Steph Curry has these kind of people around them, maybe they're paying them a lot of money because they're making $30 million a year. But we don't have to make $30 million a year to do that. It, you know, it could be as simple as, you know, $1,000 a month, you know, to have these different, you know, different team, their team members around them, right? Which will only create an investment in themselves to make them better at what they do and everything that they do. The question is, why don't they, and we know the answer, why don't they invest in themselves? That's the, you know, and everybody, Dennis, well, everyone says this, listen, everyone says, well, the school should have trained them. And, you know, the schools are responsible to get them their degrees. Yeah. I mean, that's what, you know, yeah. that's what the we're, oh, they didn't train them enough. They didn't do it's a caca, you know?
Ron, nobody understands this better than you do. Your curriculum is packed with stuff that doctors need to know to credential themselves to become effective doctors. There wouldn't be any time in the program for that if you were spending all of your time helping doctors become successful. And then what would they build that on? They still need to be effective doctors. There's no such thing as a successful doctor who sucks at doctoring. It doesn't work.
Right.
You have to be able to deliver on your promise. Now, in conversations with Dr. Hoffman, my partner at the Master Circle, who, by the way, is close friends with Walter Sanchez, we discuss this all the time about what it takes in order to encourage more people to engage chiropractic success earlier in the process. Some people people have natural gifts at it, there's no question. But the majority of the people are going to be as successful at chiropractic practice as they are at other aspects of their lives. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. So somebody who has a successful marriage, who has a successful education, who has found a way to be able to subsist financially, these are people who are going to be successful in practice because they learn the skills of life. Many times what I have to do in coaching somebody is wind it way back and help them understand how their foundation needs to be set before they can start to build properly on it. And this is obviously a process that takes time, just like chiropractic care takes time. Coaching takes time as well. You have to make sure that people have the firm foundation to push up from, and then you get the more subtle, specific things that make them special.
Yeah, you know, and that reminds me of something, Dennis. And, you know, it's really about your confidence and your competence. And if you've got your competence and your confidence moving in alignment with each other, and they could be a little bit neck and neck at times, but moving in alignment with each other, that's the key to success, right? If you've got your confidence way up here, but your competence way down here, that's a recipe for disaster, right? But coming up like this, and you could be shifted, but just bringing those up, you know, I got to tell you, it's like, as we go on, you know, you're 45 years in practice, I'm 41, you know, as we move on and we start seeing it and you look back, just like in, as you get older and you look back what you did in high school or middle school or elementary school and think, yeah, I could have changed that and could have been a lot easier, could have been a lot, whatever. It's so true that if we don't take care of ourselves as professionals, if we don't hold ourselves to that professional standard, hold ourselves. And you've seen this. You've seen people increase their levels of success because they increase their level, what you talked about earlier, of personal, you know, awareness and personal confidence within them, right? And as we take care of ourselves, naturally, we're going to start attracting that which we want because our vision will become clearer. But the magnet that we are will become much stronger to pull it in, you know?
That's the very reason why we start all new members with those two questions. Yeah. If there were no rules, I couldn't fail, what would my practice be like? And who would I need to be or become? When you talk about competence and confidence, you're 100% right. Those are two critical keys, but each individual is made up slightly different. There's like fingerprints. Everybody's got a slightly different makeup and a slightly different set of, or complement of resources. The skill and finesse of, on my side, the coaching, and on the member's side, the receiving the coaching and using it, is to be able to match up these questions,
right?
To be able to say, what do I need to focus on? Sure. See, like I said, pleasure lives in the strengths, but growth lives in the weaker areas. So in order, and you may be wondering why I call them weaker areas rather than weaknesses, because many of the people I work with don't have any weaknesses. They're very, very strong. They just have weaker areas by comparison to their strengths. So, you know, if you can help somebody build a weaker area, now that allows them to take the strength that much farther. We have people achieving at a very, very high level. And the way they get there is the same way somebody learns how to do it in the beginning. They just do it on a grander scale with more personal power, more passion, more drive.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Man, I got to tell you, Dennis, we could go on and on. You are absolutely amazing. I feel like, you know, just having you on the line was, you know, is just amazing. And I'm so happy that we got to spend our time together today and the tidbits. And I'm, you know, they will, I just pick up his books and Dennis will have it out. But, you know, I know that you're so open to anybody who's there, you know, to reach out to you. You've always been like that. I want to thank you for being with us. But more than being with us today and sharing, you know, your knowledge with our viewers, I want to thank you just for being a rocking chiropractic. You know, there's, you know, I want to thank you for really, when I really mean this, the time, talent, and treasure that you've delivered to this profession so that this profession can keep going. And, you know, on your epitaph, you know, it will say a life well lived, you know, because you've really given so much. And I could say this, the Yiddish word, you know, you are a true mensch, you know, you are a true, true mensch, someone who just gives to give, you know, and I appreciate you so much. So thanks for being with us today.
You're very welcome, Dr. Oberstein. Thank you for the opportunity. And
now I'm Dr. Oberstein as we're leaving. I like that. Where was that? Hey, listen, to our viewers, Thank you, man. You guys come back at us week after week. We're this the leadership line is just all over the place. We drop this every 2 weeks. You will constantly get great messages and pearls of wisdom. This one you're going to have to listen three times, maybe four, to let it just sink in, because that's how we get it. It's the repetition, right? Time, space, repetition. The other thing is this, is that every other week we drop our life by Life West. And so check in on those. Keep sharing these. Spread them with your friends and people who need to hear this. Today with Dr. Perman, with Dennis, spread it with everybody. I mean, my gosh, your significant other, someone who's not in chiropractic. This was great stuff, because it's about correcting ourselves so that we can be the best we can be to correct those subluxations above Atlas and move forward. So thank you again for being with us. Know that we love and appreciate you, and that all that you do, that you are doing, is making a difference in this world. Don't stop. Just get better. Treat yourself to the greatness that you are within you. And until we come again at you with a Life West Leadership Line, know that we love and appreciate you. And we'll see you at the next Life West Leadership Line.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.